We'll be right there at the beginning. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Many years ago, and those of you that are older, you might remember this if you worked at a plant. Many years ago, and work plants, they had whistles that would go off at the start of the day, lunch hour, bringing everybody back in. And the story goes that there was a group of men that were from Albania. And so they were from the country of Albania, and they came to America, and they were touring a manufacturing plant. And so they came to this plant. The owner of the plant was taking people around and showing them, because the reason they were coming over from Albania is they'd heard about the plant, their production lines, some of their integration of technology, some of the machinery and stuff that they were able to put into place. And these guys from Albania were interested. Well, they were taking a tour, and all of a sudden that whistle blew. It was noon, the noon hour, and the whistle went off, and all of a sudden about 2,000 workers dropped what they were doing and just boom, they're gone. And all of a sudden the Albanians were looking, they're like, sir, all your workers are leaving. And they're like, oh no, don't worry, it's lunch hour. So they continued the tour, looking at the integration of some of the equipment, some of the technology-based things. He was talking, they were showing him all kinds of different things with the machinery. And then 1 o'clock, the whistle goes off. And man, 2,000 people, phoom, right back. So they get done with the tour, and the man, the owner of the place in America, looks at the guys from Albania and said, all right, now you've seen some of this. Are you interested in us going over and maybe helping you out there in Albania? And they're like, you know what? Forget the equipment. We want the whistle. All right? We want the whistle. Now, I'm not going to remember last week we started with the idea of teaching our children faith. This week, it's teaching our children work. Now, I am not going to give you a special whistle, all right, that can get your kids to work. And kids, you're not going to get a special whistle to get your parents to work. that's a little side joke. All right, and I'm not going to get a special whistle to get the staff to work. That's impossible. All right, just so you know, they're lazy slugs. We'll all be disappointed for the rest of our lives. All right, but what we are going to try to do is look at some biblical principles. You know, there was a study a few years ago in England. And in England, they found the unhappiest minute of the work week. Now, I don't know how in the world they did this, but this supposedly, according to this English newspaper, and again, you shouldn't believe everything you read in newspapers, but according to this, the most miserable moment of the week is 11:17 a.m. on Monday morning. Now, I would agree with the Monday morning sometimes, all right? But 11:17, I don't know why, because maybe that's before lunch, and you're just thinking, it's never coming. I'm just really depressed. And you're thinking that, you know, Saturday is way down the road from this point. And so 11:17 a.m. But I don't think, and I think some of the reasons, as the average person that you talk with, and not just in America, I think it's around the world. You know, most people, they just hate work. They just hate it. You're talking, hey, so how's it going? I'm like, wow, I wish I could be you. You know, you're always so pleasant, so happy. Right? But it seems like they never really enjoy work. The only thing that they seem to enjoy is looking forward to their couple weeks of vacation, and then the whole work force is dreading when they come back, because, you know, really everybody at work is like, yes, they're on vacation. No, they're coming back. So maybe 11:17 a.m. is when you come back to work, and we're all like, oh no, they're here. But the Bible teaches us the proper perspective of work, and we're going to try to look at that this morning. And Genesis chapter 2. Notice what it says in verse 8. And we're starting here, and then we're basically going to look at the book of Proverbs and pull out some concepts, some principles for work for us. But in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And then it goes into verse 9. He makes a garden. In verse 10, he talks a little bit more about it. And then in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden. Notice what his job was, to dress it and to what? Keep it. Now, what do we know about this time in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15? What do we know about that time? He's perfect. It's before the fall, right? So if you and I right away are thinking about work and the concept of work, what was there before the fall? Work. Now, most of us are like, you know what? The result of sin is work. It's not really true there. Okay, now I know for some of you, you equate sin and work in the same, they're like synonyms. All right, and your thesaurus, it's like, you know, you look up sin, you're like, work, school, you know, all kinds of things, parents, all right? There's a whole list there under your thesaurus. But the Bible indicates to us that God made Adam perfect and he gave him a job. And it seems like he enjoyed it. So, and then it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. And we know the command not to do that in verse 17. Verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. And so we go into him shortly after that. But then we see right after this point that his job also was to name the animals, and he did that. So right away in the Bible, and there is an idea in studying Scripture and Scripture study, they call it the law of first mention. And so to me, this is the idea in studying Scriptures that we go to the Bible and we see that work, the first time that the concept of work is there in the Bible, it's actually a good thing. Man was perfect. He's put in the Garden of Eden and he's saying, dress and keep it. And God and Adam, it seems like, had a really good working relationship. Now, what we see in chapter 3 is the fall of man. And we see also that one of the results of the fall of man is that there is going to be sorrow. Notice what it says. There's sorrow for the woman in verse 15 and 16. But unto Adam, he said in verse 17, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Look at verse 18. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. So it seems to indicate that the sorrow, the drudgery that we kind of have in labor came because of sin. And this is what we can take away as we begin this idea of thinking about teaching our children to work. Work is not really going to be easy for any of us, but our children need to understand the biblical concept, and the reason that work will not be enjoyable is because of our sin nature. I believe in heaven, we'll have jobs, and we're going to be delighted with them. All right, because it's going to be a perfect environment. And we see when there was a perfect environment at the beginning of time that, man, there was work to do. And they seem that God and man worked together. I believe that it's going to go back to that. But right now, our children need to understand that because of our sin nature, work can be grueling sometimes. But what I need to do is understand a biblical concept of work. God has a right perspective of work for us. And let's get his mindset. on it. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless this morning as we look at this concept of teaching our children to work. Help us as parents, help us as adults to present a right biblical concept of work so that future generations can understand that work can be profitable and work can be beneficial, and God has made it to where we can enjoy it. I pray that these principles will be beneficial to us as a church, as a people here this morning. As always, Lord, I ask for you to do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we look in the Bible. Again, we said that we're going to, there's a verse in 2 Thessalonians. I told you to turn there. If you don't want to look there, that's fine, but I'm going to read it. It says in 2 Thessalonians, Paul is giving some advice to the church here in Thessalonica. In verse 6, he says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we have not behaved ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." All right, now, if we practiced that in America, we would solve a lot of problems. You don't work, you don't eat. All right, that would solve a lot of problems that are out there in life. But notice, when people say that, where is it coming from? The Bible. It's a Bible concept. The Bible concept is that a man goes out, a lady goes out, and they perform some work, and through the wages maybe, or through, it could be in the area of farming, because they put some effort out, then I can enjoy the, guess what we call it, the fruit of our labor. Let's go to the book of Proverbs then, and we're going to start by looking at Proverbs chapter 6. The Bible gives us a little guy to give us instruction. Most of us have seen ants, and there's hundreds of different, and we don't have time to get into a study of ants. But sometime, look at the different ones. It's amazing what they can accomplish, but I want to see us the biblical foundation. You know that God designed work. We saw that in Genesis chapter 3, in Genesis chapter 2. And so work is not necessarily the curse from God. It's the hardness that is the curse that's there. Certain aspects of sweat and toil are part of the curse of sin. But work is profitable. So what is Proverbs chapter 6, notice verse 6. "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep?" Oh, you put your name there. Oh, I'm sorry. "How long wilt thou sleep, O teenager?" Oh, sorry again. "How long wilt thou sleep?" Uh-oh, where is he at? My main man. Should I drop the story, guys, on him? I had a young teenager staying at my house this week, and rumor has it, and I don't really like to deal with rumor, but I thought I'd just share one with you this morning. But rumor has it, his grandma also is a member, so if you're wondering, and people are looking in this section over here back at him, then you might be able to figure out. But rumor has it that he told his grandma that, "Hey, you know what? Do you need me to stay at your house? Because the Damerons get up so early." Now, I'm just throwing it out there. It's rumor. It's conjecture. All right? It's probably a little bit gossipy, things like that. I'm not one to do it. We could kind of dwell on whether. So if you want to just take it and think about that and then deal with it. All right? Deal with it. Talk to him and see if it really is true or not. But I told him that it would be a great illustration of how long wilt thou sleep. Oh, sluggard, when wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall what? Thy poverty come as one that traveleth or travaileth. Most think that it means traveleth, okay? And thy want as an armed man. All right? And the idea of traveleth means that it's scurrying away from you. You never can grab it. And that's the idea of a slothful person. Slothful person, they're always wanting something. They never can get it. And they're wondering, why is that the satisfaction just wandering away? Because of a bad work ethic. The Bible is indicating to us that there is a picture of work. And the picture of work is a small little ant. A small little ant. They're diligent. They're preparing ahead of time. And most of us would say, wait a minute. I mean, it's just a little ant. And that is a lesson for you and I. The lesson for you and I, and we'll have some application as we come to a close. And the lesson for you and I is this. And that is that an ant, we don't think of them as something great and mighty. We don't think that they have, wow, that ant, his IQ is just astronomical. Well, maybe in comparison to some of your friends. I understand that. But I'm saying that an ant we're not looking at and saying, wow. But this is for you and I and us as parents to help us. Because you know what? Anybody can be a hard worker. Anybody can be a hard worker. I might not have this huge intellect. I might not have the biggest brain in my classroom. I might not have all the talent. I might not have all the personality. But you know what every one of us can do? I can work hard. And my children can be taught to work hard because that's something that we can do. I can be diligent. I may not be able always, there may be someone in the class, and no names again, because there are some people that their families have a reputation that they don't even study, and they get straight A's. Ah! All right, now, they're not sluggardly. We may not think so. We're wondering. But you know, there are some people. There are different intellects out there. There are some people that are gifted in athletics. There are some people. I learned this, not to embarrass him. I don't know if he's sitting out here. I learned that John, oh, there he is. I learned that John the Third should never wrestle. All right, now, I learned that, didn't we? And so guess what we're like, you know what? You are not a wrestler. Right now, you look at him now, and you really realize that, all right? You realize it even more, okay? But guess what we could do? We could go up to the weight room, couldn't we? We could go up to the weight room, and we could say, you know what? We may not learn how to wrestle, but there is something about hard work, and we can learn that. So let's go do that. Let's accomplish that. Let's accomplish the idea of work. Why? Because there are some things athletically. You know what? There are some gifts that God gives to people, athletically, and intellectually, other areas. And we'd say, man, I don't have that. But this right here, what you're going to find is when it comes to the Bible, God says across the board, there's an equaler, an equalizer, and that is hard work. And we should be in the business of training our young people that when they step maybe into the youth group or they step into our house in a work ethic area or they then are out there and they're trying to get jobs, they should. It may be that they're not the straight A student. It may be that they're not the most gifted athlete, but it shouldn't be said of a young person that grows up here that they're lazy. That's shameful. And it shouldn't be that a young person, and you're on a bus route, and you're coming here, and you're studying the Bible, and you're trying to work and trying to learn those things. It should not be said that you are a Christian and you're lazy. That is not something that's uplifting to God. That is not pointing people to Christ. Our testimony should point people to Christ. Notice the picture of work. Notice the power in work. Notice in chapter 20, Proverbs chapter 20. Notice I said this, and we're going to look at a lot of verses in Proverbs. And we'll just kind of peruse our way through and learn some things from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20. And just so you know, even as a young person, I like reading Proverbs. But what I like doing in the book of Proverbs is doing studies. If you've read Proverbs, and somebody was talking to me about this recently, even last week as far as family devotions, I think one of the easiest things to do is to take a proverb and just take it and read it together as a family. But what you're going to find is when you do that, like in Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 5 or 6, you're going to see all kinds of different topics kind of crammed together. So in the book of Proverbs, one way to study it is to take a theme and pull out everything that the book of Proverbs has to say about work. What you're going to find is there's a lot. We're not going to cover it all. Just giving you some hope there. All right, because some of you are like, no. Another forever sermon. All right, now shame on you for thinking that. All right, God will judge you, and we'll have a long one in the future just for that reason. But today shouldn't be so harsh on you. But look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11. Even a child is known by his what? Doings or his work. Whether his work be pure or whether it be right. So what is it saying? As a child, you're going to gain what? A reputation. As an adult, I taught this to our church and used this a few months ago, maybe a year ago, I can't remember. But I used that verse to help us understand that it's saying even a child, I think in some ways it may be talking to us as adults, saying that even a child by his actions gets a reputation. And so it is for us as adults. So as an adult, you know what it shouldn't be? It shouldn't be that, oh, man, I don't want Pastor Dameron to be on my work crew. He's lazy. Because guess what? Even a child has a reputation. And so do you. People know when you're a hard worker. And they're happy to have you a part of their crew. Because there's power in work. We shape. All right, so this is what it's saying. You can shape. The power in work is you can shape your reputation by what you do. It's not necessarily by your intellect or by your skills. And some of that God blesses. But it's your work ethic. What is your work ethic? And now, I am not a believer in what the world has this frenzy that's out there. And I know a lot of dads, I've talked to them about this. I don't think that I have to work 80 hours a week or you're just a slug. No, because guess what? I have to work in my family. I have to work on my marriage. I have to work, and also, just so you know, God gave us a pattern, and what did Christ do? Or what did God do? He set a pattern for us. 6 days shalt thou labor, and the seventh, rest. All right, so I'm not saying that, you know what, you don't work 120 hours a week. What's wrong with you? I don't. So guess what? I'm like, oh, right there, you. All right, because I'm not doing that. But when you get at it, get at it. Put your heart into it. Because that's also a Bible principle. Is there a Bible principle that teaches us that whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with what? Weenily, all right? Do it sloppily. Do it with thy might. That gives the idea. And whatever we should do, it's all to the glory of God. And so as I'm working, I am working, what? To give honor to God, to do it with my might. Why? Because when I work, I am working as in the image of Christ. And guess what we're going to see at the end? When Christ does something, he finishes it, and he finishes it good. That's my example. So there's power in work. There's profit in work. Go back to chapter 14. We're there in chapter 20. So go to chapter 14. Chapter 14 and verse 23. I love this. In all labor, there is profit. Except one. But the talk of the lips, just so you know, the talk of the lips must not be labor. Why? Because it says, in all labor, there is profit. Most of us say, yeah, you know what I'm good at? I'm good at talking. Well, it says here, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. What that means is poverty. Right now, I'm not saying that if your job is a salesman, I'm not saying that that's wrong. Okay, that's your job. That's your vocation. All right, then you're going to have to hone your skill. But some people on the work site, all their labor is jabber. And everybody around is saying, shut up. Do you ever hear of Gorilla Tape, Gorilla Glue for the lips? All right, let's experiment. Okay, like, man, I would just like to work. All right, and so at work, you got to have noise-canceling headphones because of the idiots around you. Because you can't work. You know what? Talk is cheap. It's said all the time. There is profit in labor. Look at chapter 13. Look at verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity. That means emptiness. All right, vanity is always referred to. And wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. But he that gathereth by what? Labor shall increase. All right, and so this idea, I've talked to people over and over. I've talked to some people in our church. There's some people in our church that haven't liked it, and they're not here anymore, because this is what I disagree with. I disagree with the concept of, well, guess what I'm going to do? I have $10, and I can invest this, and I'm going to become a billionaire. Right, just so you know, I don't believe in the lottery. That's the idea of the concept of the lottery. Now, I don't mind putting away, and there's a little bit of investment. But my idea of putting away is not so that all of a sudden, you know what, when I retire, I'm going to be, you know, I know there's Bill Gates, but he's got nothing on what I'm going to be. I'm going to be a quad, whatever. Right, if he's a billionaire, I'm a quad billionaire. And you're like, is that even real? Oh, for me. Yeah. All right, because I'm going to invest this little bit. And I've got this weird place out in, Madagascar. Nobody knows about this plant. And they're making a rare form of whatever. And I've heard about it. And if you invest now one penny, all right, when it comes back, oh, the boatload. They're going to have to ship, they're going to have to make like Titanics to ship the money back. You know what? That's stupid. Because that's also not biblical. Because in all labor, because wealth gotten by what? Vanity. What is that? It's a made up dream. It's silliness. And you know what you find in life? It never happens anyways. It doesn't happen. There's profit in work. There's delight in work. Look at chapter 13 and verse 4. And so we said there's power in work. There's a picture of it. There's profit. And the Bible says I can delight in it. Notice what it says in chapter 13 and verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath what? Nada. All right, that's about the limit of my Spanish. All right, nada, zip. Okay, that's not Spanish, just so you know. All right, but the soul of the diligent, what he's going to be? He's going to be made fat. Now, some of you, you're like, oh, I knew there was a biblical explanation for being obese. All right, like, wow, no, wait a minute. You're like, that's not what it's saying, though. All right, that idea of fat in the Bible, a lot of the times, it gives you a word picture. And what that idea there is, all right, when a cow, when you were going out, remember the prodigal son came back? And what did the dad say? Go out and get the leanest piece of trash calf. I want a skinny one. You know what? My son just came back, that little, he just spent all my money. You go get the ruddiest little skinny calf you can find and bring him in here. What's the concept? Go get what? The fatted calf. The idea was there is just happiness and joy there. Right? You see the concept. So when the Bible says, when you work hard, your soul, it's the idea of that there's just an overwhelming joy. There's satisfaction in work, in hard work. There's just satisfaction. You know, some people say, well, you know what? I'm not getting paid what I'm worth. I'm not getting this. I understand that, and we should want to get paid a fair wage. But there is something that just as a Christian, that there just is joy in just being a hard worker. Man, just being, because the Bible teaches that when I'm a hard worker, there's just satisfaction, there's joy there. Now, what happens to people that avoid it? And we're gonna start shutting down here, okay? We're again in Proverbs, so let's look at some things that happens. Okay, look at chapter 19. Chapter 19, look at verse 15. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. You're all thinking about that teenager at my house, aren't you? Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul, what is he going to do? He's going to suffer what? Hunger. This is what I can tell you. Nations that have a problem with their workforce have a problem with hunger. What's happening in America? What's the big thing? Oh, people are starving. Now, I understand there probably are some people. I don't see that much. Most of you sitting here, you don't know if somebody's starving. In fact, you know people that, if they're starving, all right, I don't know. I know nations that could feed off of some people. All right, I mean, we could submit them, and they'd be feasting for years off of some of the people that I see in America. I mean, it's crazy how big people are. Okay, but you know what's happened to America? What have we gone away from? Everybody knows it. We've gone away from biblical principles. We started about talking about that last week. It's why it's important to establish with our children the concept of faith. We move away from it, what happens? Even in the area of children, if faith is removed, then we're not raising them right, we're not teaching them properly, then the idea of life is not even important. It's cheap. Oh, so you don't want something? Kill it. That is a non-biblical basis. So in the area of work, what has happened in America? What is it? Less work, more pay. All right? We need to get out there and switch their signs around one time. Be like, you know, and it wouldn't be hard to beat them because all you'd have to do is get up like at 8 in the morning because you know they're not going to be there, spray paint their signs, and get out there. And then they get out there like, you know what? More work, less pay. What happened? All right, because guess what happens in America? In America, we've gone away from biblical principles, and as we've gone away, you know what? It's not, they just expect me to work hard. Really? Well, actually, biblically, we should. And what is happening to America? Oh, everybody's hungry. Lazy nations have hungry people. It's Bible. Lazy nations have hungry people. Why? Because the Bible says it's a byproduct of a sluggardly nation. And I could line people up here. Guys here that are working, guys here that have been, that have run their own business. And you know what their biggest gripe is? I can't find good workers. And a lazy nation will have hungry people. And some of that is not just physically. It's also spiritually, emotionally. That's a byproduct. Look at what else we see in the Bible. Look at verse 20. We were in 19. Where were we at? 19. So let's go to chapter 20. Chapter 20 and verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. He's reduced to doing what? Begging. Why? Because he didn't plan. He didn't prepare. He didn't. So then he's always like, oh, hey, you got a dollar? You got this? No, and I'm supposed to be. Then if you say no, hey, why, God's blessed you. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure you're twisting scripture. I'm not thinking because I want to say a lot of other things to you. All right, but right now I'm not wanting to discuss theology, but you really get me mad. Because now all of a sudden I'm a heathen because I'm not giving you money, but this is mine. But you know, that's exactly it. And so now, guess what happens? Lazy nations suffer hunger. Lazy nations are beggars. And guess what else? Chapter 24. Chapter 24. Look at verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and what happened? By the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instructions. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So what is it saying? He's going to waste what he has. It's a sign of slothful people. A good work ethic, this is what is a sign. And this is then, let's bring it down and apply it to ourselves. What is the Bible saying? Somebody that doesn't have a good work ethic, they're going to be hungry, they're going to be begging, and the things that they have are in disrepair. Because if I have a good work ethic, God has blessed me with these hands, I've worked and I'm bringing honor and glory to Him, so everything is for His glory. So then when God gives me and I'm praying about it as a Christian and I say, oh, you know what, I'm going to purchase this because it's a wise use of His money, and so then I bring that in, then I understand God gave it to me, it is His possession and He's loaning it to me, then I'm going to take care of it. But look at young people, even the average American, it's sad, isn't it? That's why even here, our staff knows this, you as a church know, and we even talked about it last Sunday night, I love my church. You know one reason why I love my church is because we love things decently and in order. I love that as a church, the majority of the time, right, when somebody's walking through, they're like, oh, that looks out of place. You know, the majority of work here is volunteer work. All right, and so then even on Monday nights, people, some churches think we're crazy. I mean, you ask your people to come and work. Why? Because we love God's place. It's a testimony of what God has done, and it should look decently and in order. And my house should look that way. My life should look that way. My car, it may not be a new car. It may be an old car, but it should look decently and in order. It should be our houses. It should be that way. Why? Because we teach work. And so what is it like in your house? What is it like in your life spiritually? Do you work at it? It amazes me sometimes spiritually. And God's really impressed us. I was talking to a staff member yesterday as I was coming around and I just paused and God just pounded on me and said, make sure your staff spiritually is working. Are you right with God? It takes work. It's hard. And so then you know what that means? That as a staff, we need to pray. As a staff, we've got to study. As a staff, yes, I want the buildings in shape. Yes, I want things in order. But our spiritual life is important. And it takes work. And as members here, do you understand that our inner man must be strong? It's not going to happen by chance. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take effort. And so what does it mean as parents? close with a couple of applications. Teach your children the biblical concept of work. God created it, and it's to glorify Him. So forget what the world says. It's not about making the most bucks. It's not about all that. If God blesses you with that, that's okay. But my work is an outpouring of my relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's a testimony. Then, parents, adults here, be an example of hard work to our young people. Be an example. That's why we've tried to work it out even over the past years that, you know, with soccer practice and things, if it's possible, our young people, our young men can come in and work at work parties. You know why? They need to be with our men. They need to see our men at work. They need to see our... Why? Because it's a testimony to them of godliness, of a right concept. Be an example of a hard worker. Then this may seem silly, but start at a young age as a family working together and helping them enjoy projects. You know, as they get older, it's fun. As they are younger, it's not fun. All right, they mess everything up. All right, they ruin everything. Like, wow, okay, that was bleach. Okay, all right, I understand that. But as a family, come up with projects. We work together. Because there's joy in seeing a job completed. We close with John chapter 17. I mentioned this at the start, and we close with it. Oh, we reference this in John 17. Look at verse 1. This is Christ's high priestly prayer, they call it. I believe this is just before he's going to the cross. All right, and he goes to the garden after this, but this is some time that he's praying. Look at what he says. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. He's getting ready for what? Work. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. It's a story of an artisan, and he was kind of unknown in most areas. But they were working on a cathedral, and so he was gifted in stained glass. He came to the construction head, and he said, hey, do you mind if I take this glass and just work on it? Well, it was kind of out of the way. And he didn't really know the guy. He was like, all right. So, and it was covered. So this man went back there and he started making a stained glass portrait. Nobody saw him. He just worked. All the other things were going along. And then everything was done and he peeled back the stained glass portrait. Everybody that came to visit was in awe, not of the building, but of this man's stained glass portrait. They just, whoa, who is this man? So the construction man found him and said, hey, you know, we're getting such feedback on this project. I mean, nobody even knew who you were. Nobody knew that you were even working there. He's like, what did you use? And this is what touched my heart as I saw this, because it relates to me, and I think it relates to you. He said, you know, all these other guys working, and they were working on glass over here, and they were even doing some stained glass over there. There was fragments falling down. I took all of those, and they're in that. And I made a masterpiece. As I close, and I use that because Christ is able to finish something with imperfection. And that's you and me. Because sometimes I look and say, God, how can I do this? How can I have the right work ethic? What can I accomplish? And God says, just give it to me. And I can take what seems discardable, what seems worthless, and I can take it and make it beautiful because guess what God is? He's a master craftsman. And this is what I ask you today. I ask you and say, all right, in your life, all right, work at the work ethic. You've seen what the Bible says. And you may say, I don't have much. Then start by giving it to God. Start by placing it in His hands. And you know what you'll find? He's a master. And God just wants, this is what He desires for us as Christians. Give Him your dead level best. And He'll bless it. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. I ask you this morning, as we looked at this idea of work, you've seen what the Bible has to say about it. And maybe as God was using, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe, He convicted your heart. And He said to you, you know what? You don't have the work ethic you should. It's not been a biblical concept of work. And what you need to do is change that concept. And then what I ask you to do is give God your dead level best and let God take it as a master craftsman. And you know what He can make? He can make something beautiful. Are you willing to do that? May the Lord help us this morning as we consider this concept of teaching our children to work. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time. Thank You for the opportunity to look at Scripture. Thank You for the power of it. Bless this time as we come to pray, look introspectively in our hearts. I pray that You would make us better people and Christians because of being in Your house this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Standing with heads bowed, eyes closed. It could be you're a young person. It could be you're an adult. It could be you're a parent. And God dealt with you in this area of work. The altar is open as the piano and organ play. If you need someone to talk to, there's men down here. If God dealt with your heart, you come forward as the piano and organ play.